We are on page 110. What we are there and here on earth shall be is imaged in a contact and a call. As yet, earth's imperfection is our sphere. Our nature's glass shows not our real self. That greatness still abides, held back within. Earth's doubting future hides our heritage. The light now distant shall grow native here. The strength that visits us, our comrade power. The ineffable shall find a secret voice. The imperishable burn through matter's screen, making this mortal body Godhead's robe. This is the transfiguration, the final change. It's not transformation, transfiguration. Because these forces, they come into our world. They're from the subtle physical, where there is no deterioration, where there is no imperfection, because there is no fixed solid matter. Therefore, that world of beauty, a perfection, is always there. And that is really what we inherit. So, they come sometimes as the mind's visitors. They come sometimes as our deeper experiences of the heart. They espouse our mortal brevity a while. Enter into our short-lived human moments of connection with the divine, connection with what is absolute and beautiful and perfect for a while, or seldom. In some rare delivering glimpse, delivered from our blind ignorance, when we can put aside for a while this very, you might say, conceited, proud mental notion of what is right, what is reality, what is truth. The mind is extremely conceited. It's very proud. Just for a while, if we can become simple, then we become transparent. Then we can allow those forces to pass through us. Or seldom, in some rare delivering glimpse, are caught by our vision's delicate surmise. These moments of reality, of perfection, of beauty, of manifestation, that is permanent, it is always there. And they are caught by, not surmise, is sometimes a form of guesswork. Here it is not, I don't suppose it is guesswork, but it is some kind of a, we catch something which is not with the help of thought nor the help of reasoning. Something we grasp. Sometimes something comes to us which is in a very subtle, delicate way, and we are delivered from our small, limited, ugly, imperfect forms of thought and what we call beauty, which is also fixed, limited. But sometimes we do feel something else. So he says, this fact that sometimes we do connect with this other world of permanent perfection and beauty shows that that is where we come from. You cannot connect with something if it is totally alien to you. You cannot think of something that you have absolutely no relationship with. So here, these glimmerings point to the secret of our birth. Even if it's a glimmering, even if it's just a flash, it shows that that is where we come from and the hidden miracle of our destiny. We come from there, and that is what we shall someday transmit, manifest, express. It is so simple. In one of his early poems, he says to his niece on her birthday, "From him we come, to him we go, desire eternally." So that's something. That something is what we desire. It is part of the fact that we are not limited to this present, visible, tangible universe. Our range is much vaster. We can move in many, many planes. We belong to the whole play of manifestation. The Divine is using the human being to transmit his possibilities. This is the privilege of man. It is through page 110, Tanya. You got it? It is a privilege that man, with all his faculties, sometimes when we refine them, we take away their density and resistance and dullness, we can open ourselves to the play of a certain expression of something beyond human, the human. The fact that the human being can transmit something more than what he usually calls the human. And that only man is. We are more than what we are. We can express that which we are not in our ordinary state. So who are we then? If we are more than who we are, then what are we? We are not as if made in a fixed format. It is something that is endlessly expandable. We can open, we can rise, we can feel. This is really the whole play of this being called man, who alone can evolve. And if I participate gladly, in this game, I evolve consciously, I refuse to stay stuck in my present state, I open myself to something more than what I am just now, then there I am starting to do yoga. What Sri Aurobindo describes as he who consciously chooses to evolve. That person is doing yoga. We evolve anyhow. Sometimes very slowly. Sometimes we devolve again, we go fall back. Not sometimes, very often. But the fact that we can grow out of what we are, it is not a finished, man is not a piece of sculpture that has been finished once and for all. He has to be as if remodeled, recreated, made to manifest something which is waiting to be transmitted only through him. That is the great privilege. Those worlds exist, and that is our destiny. That is the hidden miracle. Man will someday become more than man, the superman. What we are there, not, he doesn't say what we shall be, we already are that. That world of perfection is what we are. What we are there and here on earth shall be, to manifest here what we already are there, to bring it down, to express ourselves, to become embodiments of that completeness of all the possibilities that are there. Such infinite possibilities of wonder and light and truth and beauty and consciousness, all these are waiting to be transmitted through this little figure called man. And we resist because we are so accustomed to our little dullness. Change is something we don't want to really attempt. Change for something unknown, change for something unusual. But if we do, then we discover the infinite joy of a new experience, a new beauty. It is a world of discovery. This is what he describes also when he's talking of a poet. He has the spiritual excitement of a journey of self-discovery. He discovers worlds because these worlds are inside him. He finds that they are there. And that joy, that delight, that ananda is what is the play of manifestation. So what we are there and here on earth shall be is imaged in a contact and a call. Sometimes, some call or some touch, a grace which is always there, a moment of response when sometimes we are almost taken off guard. Those are the best moments. We are not trapped in our little fixed ideas or opinions and notions. Suddenly we come in touch with something that is wonderful and marvelous. This is inspiration. This is what the poet does. He's almost taken off guard. He captures an experience. He transmits it through him, through his own being. He becomes a channel, empty of himself. Otherwise, as yet, Earth's imperfection is our sphere. Otherwise, this is our familiar world, a world where there is an interplay of dualities, of darkness and light, of truth and falsehood, of beauty and pain, and ugliness and joy. All these things are all mixed together, and you say, this is life. Life is this. But when we feel that that is not really the final manifestation, something that is so mixed cannot be the final stage. Things have to be sorted out. Things have to be clarified. We have to, as if, put things in place. We are, yes, born from the dullness of unconscious matter, but we are evolving out of this dullness towards light, because that is what is drawing us. That is why we don't want to stop. We want to grow towards that beauty, that perfection, that absoluteness. It is the absolute that is really attracting us. As yet, Earth's imperfections is our sphere. Our nature's glass shows not our real self. Our real self is the supreme, the soul. That soul is divine. The surface nature is a broken mirror. When the mirror is broken, the image is broken. It is defective. We are defective beings. So it is our real self is not, humanity is not something that is a manifestation of something that is more or less better than the previous animal or early stage. Not necessarily even that. We are not in any way actually better than even an animal, but we are aware of it. Man is aware that he can be better. He can break out of that state of the vegetal life or the animal life. And that is our present superiority. I am not ideal, I am not perfect, but I know it. Which the animal does not ask. He does not ask to be that. He is whatever he is. The plant is whatever it is. And therefore they don't have this tormented inner life. They are straightforward, simple life. Man has this inner torment because he dislikes himself the way he is. He has a consciousness of something more that he can be and at present is not. But because we feel this sense of incompleteness, that is because that completeness is our final destiny. And completeness is perfection. Perfection even in our existence in the physical. Not just in the world of thought, in the world of feelings, but in the world of manifested physical existence. Our nature's glass shows not our real self. That greatness still abides, held back within. Earth's doubting future hides our heritage. It's our heritage. Heritage is what we have really inherited from our parent. We have received this perfection. He is the creator. We are his children. He has to manifest himself through us. He is the unmanifest, the Supreme is unmanifest, the Nirakar, the Supreme. If he wants to manifest, man is the medium. We are therefore, this is our task, this is our duty. It is not something that is a choice. Fundamentally, it is the duty of the human race to become transmitters of a higher and greater way of life in the body, in the life, in the mind, in everything. Because that origin of perfection has asked us to do this task. We have been chosen for that. Man has been chosen by the Divine. But we have to choose to be that also. We have to respond. We have to choose. We don't believe it. Normally we doubt. We say, I'm far from all this. I'm just a human being. I'm made up of all the stuff of error and ignorance and imperfection. So Earth's doubting future hides the fact that we are really children of the Divine. And so we have to be manifestations of the Divine. It is straightforward, simple, not easy, difficult. When we say that you tell the mother, we want to be always simply your little children. This is the first prayer the children are taught. Now and forever, simply your little children. To be simple, simply aware that it is through me that my mother will express herself. What an enormous responsibility, and how forgetful we are. We just live our little lives for our little selves. We forget. We say this sentence, it is an easy sentence. It is a most difficult sentence, I always think. To live it at every moment, to be a child of the mother at every moment, means we have to eliminate from us everything that is contrary to the Divine. In thought and action, in speech, in movement, in feeling, in everything. It is a state of conscious choice at every second. We doubt that it is possible. But this is our heritage. You have inherited it from your mother. Our heritage is the wealth we have been passed on by our parent. That great, it is waiting for us. Earth's doubting future hides our heritage. But the promise in the next beautiful lines that follow, the light now distant shall grow native here. The day man will allow himself to become an instrument of the divine manifestation, that is the receptivity, that is the opening, that light shall manifest itself through man. The strength that visits us, our comrade power, here and there, now and then, there are moments where we connect with something more than ourselves, but it should become our constant companion. That strength, that guidance, that light, that beauty. The ineffable shall find a secret voice, ineffable that cannot be expressed, and shall be expressed only through the human consciousness. See the enormous, you might say, task allotted to us. And yet we're so busy with our little lives, with our daily little existences, making its own little circles, talking and living and fulfilling our small daily satisfactions or dissatisfactions. But when we realize, what are we for? So much trouble nature has taken to develop this creature called man out of the original formless energy. That energy became matter. That matter became living matter. That living matter became thinking matter. And then in that thinking, living being, there is the first signs of something more than thought, more than this capacity to allow to be your own self, what we say, myself. I have to be myself. Then who am I? Man thinks he has a right to be himself, but who is man? What is man? Man is an instrument that is not just a creation, he is also an instrument for transmission. He's an interpretative being. The imperishable burn through matter's screen. This is the future of matter. Matter is what perishes. Life never perishes. Mind does not perish. Matter perishes. Matter breaks up because matter has this dense, inert resistance. Matter is made of inertia. And that is why the body dies. But when the body realizes that it is not made of dense matter, it is made of spiritual energy, of consciousness. That energy is consciousness. And it is just our ignorance that does not allow this consciousness to manifest itself, so that in every cell of the being there is inconscience. The presence of ignorance and error is there. That is why it finally breaks up. But if we collaborate, if matter realizes it is made of the same stuff as the stuff of the spirit is consciousness, so is matter. Basically, matter is made of the same stuff. Then that light of the spirit will manifest itself through the body. This is the last text Sri Aurobindo wrote, no, the divine body. At the very end of in the middle of 1950, I think it's August 1950, this was brought out in the bulletin. Making this mortal body Godhead's robe. The body then is simply an expression of divinity. Mortal is immortal. If it's Godhead's robe, then it is a form of divinity. Why should we say a form of humanity? Humanity is fundamentally an expression of the divine. Fundamentally, originally and ultimately. At present it is not that. All the other elements that contradict have come into play. They are having really a great deal of, you might say, freedom to manifest themselves. So there is chaos, confusion, ego, darkness, error. They have all come up to the surface. All that is really scum. Just like when you are boiling, say, sugar syrup, a great deal of scum comes on the surface. That scum has to be removed. We are living that scum, that dirt. It has to, I suppose, come up to the surface before it can be thrown out. When you realize it has to be thrown out, we can't forever be like this. Because this mortal body is created by that which is not mortal. It is simply a robe, a dress, a kosha, a covering of that which is eternal, formless. We are the form of the formless. That is the divine manifestation. The avatar is the form of the formless. So are we. Someday this is what we are supposed to be. The spirit's greatness is our timeless source, and it shall be our crown in endless time. Endless time is almost a paradox. Time is the field. A field is not endless. Time is the field of expression. It is the play, it is the plan of the divine. It is in this world of time that the eternal must manifest. The eternal manifests himself in every fraction of time. In every particle of space, the infinite is there. In every fraction of time, the infinite is there. He doesn't have to find an infinite stretch of nirvanic emptiness to find an opportunity to manifest like the Nirakar Brahman. He may be the Nirakar formless Brahman, but he's also the Sakar Brahman. Why should he not be both at the same time? He is everything. He can be small, he can be great. That is the delight of manifestation. Why manifest himself? Because he takes joy in that. And where should he manifest himself if not in this world of time and space? This world of mortality becomes the play field of the eternal. Again and again you get pictures of the divine playing with the world of time. Every avatar comes to play. He comes not just to fight, to establish a new stage of consciousness, but behind it is the joy, the harmony, the delight of the flowering of something that is latent and is waiting to burst into bloom. That is the consciousness. A vast unknown is round us and within. Within us is the vast. Around us is the vast. Above us is the vast. Because we are the vast. If we remember that passage, I think it was on page 67, the absolute, that is the perfect, the alone. He is above, he is universal, he is individual. That absolute is the immune. Immune from time, immune from limitation, immune from smallness, and yet it is the perfect. And that is us. That is the destiny of man. A vast unknown is round us and within. All things are wrapped in the dynamic one. Dynamic one, it's constantly growing, it's not finished. The play of manifestation is a constant growth. If it is finished, it is something that becomes fixed. And then it becomes static. The possibility of growth is not there. That is why we should never attach ourselves to fixed thoughts, fixed opinions, fixed ideas. We can say, I am this now. I shall not be this tomorrow perhaps. If I make an attempt, if I am conscious, if I am sincere, I can grow out of this now into something else. And that is the delight of experience. Ananda is the field of all expression. Why is this? It is not just Satchit, not existence and conscious force. It is also Ananda. The original principle in the supramental is Ananda, Satchitananda. If that is not there, the joy of manifestation of the divine is not there. That smile of the divine that is present everywhere, that is what you look for. Wherever you look, turn around, you see the divine smile. The presence is there in every flower, in every sky, in every child, in every wave. That delight of existence. All these things don't have egos. So the flower manifests the divine smile. The child also has not yet time to develop his ego. Man doesn't have it, or he has lost it. He has to work on himself to get back what he had, to win back that treasure that he was given, and he has misplaced it. He has forgotten. A vast unknown is round us and within. All things are wrapped in the dynamic one. It is one, and yet it is many. It is multiple, it is complex, it is variable, because it is not something that is fixed. And yet it is the one. That is the basic supramental principle. the unity which is constantly there in the diversity. They are not mutually exclusive. If there are many, that doesn't mean that will not be the one. All are one in the many. Unity in the diversity. Matter is the spirit, and the sense of harmony that blends all this in a sense of supreme joy and love and beauty. These are the essential aspects of the supramental manifestation. So all this is wrapped in the dynamic one. A subtle link of union joins all life. It's the same principle that is at work that started with the original manifestation of matter in which life was hidden. In this world of formless energy, matter was hidden. In the world of matter, life was hidden. So life and matter, they are not suddenly manifesting themselves in energy. Everything is working out as one play of the divine plan, that there should be the original, not void. The void that you call the shunya, that is not void. It is full, full of all the possibilities of the future. Not all totally manifested, but all things are joined in that one. A subtle link of union joins all life. And that is why we can relate to, we can connect with everything. If we can extend our consciousness, you can relate to the life of the plant, you can relate to the life of the worm, you can relate to the life of even your enemy. If you can expand your consciousness, remove your fixed standard ideas, you can understand why a person is so ugly, so inimical, so inferior. What is stopping him from breaking out of that little hard shell of brutality? You realize it is, that too is part of the plan. The divine works even through his enemies. There are forces that seem inimical to the divine. It is because if they were not there, you would never really ask for the divine. If there was no ugliness, you would never ask for beauty. So at a certain stage, they serve a certain purpose. I suppose it's sometimes a very horrible purpose when you see certain beings who are so mean, so hard, so brutal. You say, why are they there? They should be eliminated. But if you found yourself in a world where there was no ugliness, straight away, all beings are beautiful and wonderful, would this world want to change? Would there be a need to evolve?
You'd go up to sleep.
Yes, it's fine, it's over, everything is beautiful. So things are not beautiful. They shake you into a certain sense of, we have to break out of this state. My world is not perfect, I have to come out of this state. So they also serve some divine plan, a divine purpose. So we are not alone in a closed scheme. Between a driving inconscient force, on the lower level you have this original energy which is Prakriti that is slowly making its way from matter to life without any seeming conscious goal for a long time. So it is an inconscient force and an incommunicable absolute. And on the other, at the other end, the supreme Brahman, who seems to be completely withdrawn in his silence, in his absolute perfection of light and truth and knowledge. We are caught between these two. We are part of both. We start from below. We have to reach the top. That doesn't mean we have to separate ourselves from the lower levels. The image he sometimes gives is in the Traveler of the Worlds, it's like a staircase. You start from the bottom stair. The bottom stair is part of the same staircase. The top stair also is part of the same staircase. The top stair opens us to a wider, vaster horizon. But the bottom stair gives us the foundation. So we don't have to give up our connection with the lower levels of manifestation. Provided I never lose contact that this lower level is also Him, is also the divine. The world of matter and in conscience itself is the divine. It is part of His game. Then I look at things, I live in a different way, I change myself. This is my destiny. Our life is a spur in a sublime soul range. Soul range is just the where I have to really... The range is where
the horse
runs. So this is where we are supposed to move. We often don't move. We need a spur. A spur is a push, is a drive, sometimes painful. Life often is painful before we realize things have to change. If it was not painful, we would not change. Say, I don't need to change, I'm fine. When I realize I am not fine, there is pain, there is error, there is ugliness, there is falsehood. So all these things are put before us so that we realize that this is what we have to overcome, so that the soul manifests itself freely in the world of matter. Spirit manifests itself without hindrance in the body, in the matter. Our being looks beyond its walls of mind and it communicates with greater worlds. There are brighter earths and wider heavens than ours. There are realms where being broods in its own depths. It feels in its immense dynamic core, its nameless, unformed, unborn potencies. Cry for expression in the unshaped vast, ineffable beyond ignorance and death. The images of its everlasting truth look out from a chamber of its self-wrapped soul. So there are other worlds. Here's sonnets describing the other earths. They are there, but they are waiting. These worlds cry for expression. They want to manifest themselves in this world. Beyond ignorance and death, the images of the everlasting truth look out. They want to express themselves from a chamber of its self-wrapped soul, as if to its own inner witness gaze. There is the consciousness that is a witness. What does it witness? It witnesses the play of these forces. So this field of universal manifestation is a projection of that consciousness in all its variety, in all its richness. And they are not yet fully expressed. They are unformed potencies, powers that form themselves as we go forward. Just like as I go along up a slope or climbing a staircase, my range of vision changes. I see landscapes I didn't see before. I see realities I did not notice before. Because the state I am in opens me to new facets of reality. It is not something that is fixed in a simple formula of just a play of matter and energy. It is a play of the divine grace, the delight of manifestation. So it is as if the delight, the spirit is playing with itself from a chamber of its self-wrapped soul, as if to its own inner witness gaze. The power and passion of its timeless heart, that is the thing, the delight the force, the love, the joy of its heart, the grandeurs of its multitudinous might, the figures of its formless ecstasy, the grandeurs of its multitudinous might. All these are things that are waiting to be expressed through us, through the earth, through man.
This sentence here, as if to its own inner witness gaze, the spirit holds up its mirrored self and world.
Exactly. What is it witnessing?
Its own self.
Yes. That is the whole thing. It is witnessing itself, no? When you become conscious of yourself, you are seeing yourself. You see the possibilities that you contain. You see the wealth of experience and knowledge and power and joy that you are. Without being disturbed. On the one hand, you are one with that central being, which is your inmost witness, Purusha. That Purusha is watching. The play of manifestation is not here just Prakriti. It is the delight of manifestation. And that is the joy of existence. Okay? We'll stop here today. Right?